It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
What a story, Mark.
Good afternoon, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which apparently has been updated today.
Yes.
And you can check it out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com. You need to work into your ID now that you're also on the Twitter.
Yes, I am on the Twitter.
Yes.
Big news. I am on Twitter. Thank you. And that voice you just heard, the man who's really hoping the Pacers can defeat a Howardless Orlando team, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
We raise a glass to MCA. We do. You apparently do not. But sitting in, and we have a gentleman who's shadowing Kobe Slagle. That's J.D. Gray. He'll be sitting in with us a little bit because he saw the most important movie ever this week. But he's a... Will you shut up? Your mic's not on.
There it is. You can talk now, Richard.
You can talk now, Richard. But he's going to be sitting in Kobe's chair next week as Kobe's on vacation. And sitting in with us, a man who enjoys Haterade even more than I do. And hopefully Kobe has his intro ready because I'm talking like this. The one, the only, Richard Probst.
It's me, dear friends. Alive and kicking. Well, alive anyway.
I'll be kicking you with my jingle bells.
That's it. Kick the footless man.
You know, you walk into this stuff. Oh, you roll.
Yes! Yes! Awesome!
Well, when a fella comes back from the dead, I find that an occasion to stand up, be counted.
It's not a film sociology
it's
if
not
I don't
hard.
Do a foot joke.
Well, I can see where it'd be difficult for a man of your stature to keep in touch with even half the people you know. Well, you know beautiful women, they encourage you 1 minute and cut the legs out from under you the next.
I'm not half the man I used to be.
Wow. Why is it that the guy in the wheelchair gets a film called The Sitter?
That's my favorite part.
For those who didn't hear off the air, we discussed the film Footnote earlier, and I'm glad it's not on the highlight reel. Richard Probst, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me back.
Good to have you.
Your better judgment.
Against my better judgment.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Not the listener's judgment.
Well, you know.
Now, you are now a published author.
I am.
The book is called?
It is called The Hallelujah Life.
Not to be confused with The Hallelujah Trail, the Burt Lancaster Western comedy of the
60s. It should not be confused. It is not a sequel.
No, not at all. And you're going to be reading this tomorrow where?
At Underground 9 Studio, which is in the basement of Book Mamas in Irvington.
Ah, Book Mamas. Hey there.
Absolutely, from 3 to 5.
And Richard will be there?
Absolutely.
Reading?
I will be reading.
Spouting your reviews and thoughts?
Spouting reviews, thoughts, spontaneous ramblings, and trying to sell the book, which all the profits go to American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the Heart and Soul Film Festival.
Ah, okay. So, and you're already catching fire, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Absolutely,
because of your you're always controversial.
Bring it on!
Bring it! He says so. So we are here to talk about the most important movie ever this week, the most important movie since The Hunger Games, and and the Avengers. A film that's been hyped up for years and years, and a film that has made movie critics and comic book nerds stay for all of the closing credits of Thor and Iron Man and Hulk and Captain America.
And then the second Iron Man.
And then the second Iron Man. And then the other Hulk. No, they didn't do this for Eric Bana's, for Ang Lee's Hulk. They should have. But yes, this is the film that everybody's...
What about Howard the Duck?
No, they didn't have they didn't have Nick Fury in that one.
Okay.
But yes, it is finally here. Boy, what are single folks going to do with them? Single guys going to do with themselves? Marvel's The Avengers. Obligatory comment about the 60s spy spoof there series. There, I did that. But yeah, let's play the trailer. Kobe loves a trailer. Let's hear it.
War has started. And we are hopelessly outgunned.
Director Fury, I think it's time.
You're here with a mission, sir? Trying to get me back in the world?
Trying to save it.
Doctor, I need you to come in.
What if I say no?
I'll persuade you.
What are you asking me to do?
It's called the Avengers Initiative.
I thought I didn't qualify.
Apparently I'm, what is it? Volatile, self-obsessed,
and don't play well with others.
I think they need a timeout.
Lost creatures to defend you.
You have made me very desperate.
We're not a team. We're a time bomb.
Thing we were ever trained for.
Guys,
I'm bringing the party to you.
Crashing sounds and symphonic rock music.
Inception-esque.
Yes.
And four adult men going, pew, 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 pew. Yes, it's finally here. And let's see. Richard and I saw it Monday in 3D. Now, I know there's 3D, there's 2D, which JD saw it in 2D. And then there's IMAX, which my buddy Jeff in Georgia saw, and he really is happy he saw it in IMAX, if anything, for the shots of Scarlett Johansson.
Wow.
So we have, let's see, Thor, Hulk, Captain America, Iron Man, and Nick Fury, played by a non-screaming Samuel L. Jackson.
That was so hard to get used to.
Fighting. Well, he does those. Usually when Sam Jackson's not screaming in a film, it's in a film that nobody is watching.
That's true.
Like The Red Violin or something. But and of course, they're fighting Thor's brother, who is
Loki.
Loki, who's stolen a cube. Not gleaming the cube, but still, thank you. But stolen a blue cube that has powers.
Transformers?
No, far better than that. And then they open up a hole in the sky, and these they look like they're Krakens. Or
release the Kraken!
It feels like the Krakens are coming down, and then all five of these people are fighting, and Mark. Oh, by the way, Mark Ruffalo is Hulk now, not Eric Bana, not Edward Norton. So, okay. That all being said, and of course we heard that all in the trailer. Richard Probst, did this film deliver the business for you? Not that business.
Well, there was Scarlett Johansson. You
there
know.
Was Scarlett Johansson, was. Or as Mrs. Soce would like to pay, this film is made by boys for boys. Boys.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's what it was. Joss Whedon is obviously a fanboy.
And knows it well.
He knows it well. I think the film is going to work beautifully for fanboys. I am not a fanboy.
Nor am I.
I don't necessarily... It's not like I don't know the Marvel Universe, but...
We've reviewed all the films.
We have reviewed all the films, even the bad ones.
And which ones do you consider the bad ones?
Definitely Thor, I thought was fairly weak.
Okay.
But I thought Chris Hemsworth, actually, as an example, improved here. I thought he was more...
Because he didn't have to carry the film as much. I remember in the original Thor, I referred to him as a roided-up Brad Pitt. And
wow.
It was funny to watch, I can say, Academy Award winner Natalie Portman get all googly-eyed over this, basically a lunkhead. And he had less lunkhead things to do in
exactly.
this one. So everybody does what they're supposed to do. Let's not forget, Captain America is not the most flashy guy in the world.
Exactly.
Downey, you know, gets to do Robert Downey Jr. type things, much to Kobe's chagrin. you voiced your not high praise of Robert Downey Jr. or just in this film?
What? What are you
about Downey Jr. in Iron Man?
Oh, no, I like Robert Downey Jr.
Okay, but, yeah. but he's doing Downey-like things.
Yeah, it's typical.
It's typical.
Yeah.
And I think one of the big pluses for the film is mm-hmm. casting Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, absolutely. If you would have told me that he would have been my favorite part of the film, I would have just laughed. And he really, truly was my favorite part of the film.
And they made I'm not going to go into spoiler territory, but they made a wise choice with one of his characters. And I'll just say, you don't see him right away. And
exactly.
I think that's a very wise move on the part of the filmmakers. Yeah, I'm the same. We reviewed him, and I've liked them to varying degrees, a little more than you, because you hate most things. Not everything.
Most things.
This week. And
most fanboys, a 3-star review is going to be haterade.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to the okay. uselessness of ratings in a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's not a perfect film. I didn't think it was necessarily in 3D. JD, you saw it today in 2D.
Yeah.
Now, when it's us, when we're watching something in 3D, or even better, I remember seeing Thor in 2D, and mm-hmm. I was told that was a better viewing experience. You're looking for the 3D moments. Were you looking for the 3D moments as you were watching it?
I was, because, in fact, the color was slightly different than most films that I see that have a 2D and a 3D version.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, I think the 3D version looks a little too
dark. It's always too dark. Always.
Yeah, this time the 2D version looked too bright.
Really? Oh,
wow.
That's interesting. I don't know if I want to sit through it again to watch that, but...
No. I'd rather have another amputation, but...
We got that. Congrats, Richard. You're on the reaction... You're on the reaction menu right there. Sorry, but... There were
moments where it was clearly, I was thinking, I wish I would have seen this at the IMAX, wish I would have seen this in 3D, when the helicopter crashes in the beginning, when the color goes funny between Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Yeah, by the way, besides Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner shows up in this one. Mm-hmm. You know what? Between this and Mission Impossible, I keep waiting for Renner to turn. And he sort of does. His character sort of does in this one, but not mm-hmm. not by choice.
True.
But he looks like he's in the Liev Schreiber, Ben Foster school of stop making him the sidekick, and eventually he will turn on the hero within the last reel of the film. So... But yeah, for me it delivers. Everybody has ample screen time. There were some laugh out loud moments, and you know, I think I laughed out loud at this film.
Did you lull?
No, I did not lull. I said laughed out loud. Pay attention, son.
You lull.
Shut up! I did not. But there were laugh out loud moments in this film more than a lot of comedies, which we could talk about some other time.
That.
You know, especially there's moments with the Hulk and with Thor and the fighting
and Robert Downey Jr.'s snarkiness.
Yeah, I actually don't mind his snarkiness.
No, I don't either. I'm just saying it's like, oh, we've seen him in 2 Iron Man movies doing the same thing, and oh, what did you
expect?
I don't know.
They all can't be Mark Ruffalo. We can't change everybody by the time it's going in. This is a franchise.
I thought it was fresher than it was in Iron Man 2 as well.
Yeah, I was not crazy about Iron Man 2.
Yeah, what was the point of having an Iron Man 2?
because it made a gobs of money.
Does this sort of serve as Iron Man 3?
No. It's the Avengers.
Is there will be an Iron Man 3?
There will be an Iron Man 3.
Is there going to be an Avengers 2?
Yeah. There was. Now, that was the other thing. Let's see. I'm gonna word this properly for the panel. I don't want to get the nerds. I'm sorry. The fans in a
tizzy. Joe's listening.
I know. Hi, Joe. But when we saw it on Monday, there was a nugget before the closing credits.
Yes.
Now, apparently, the same nugget has now been shoved to the end of after the closing credits.
Really?
I think.
That would make more sense.
Now, did you stay for the entire... JD?
I stayed for the entire film, and then when the credits started, I went out to get some popcorn, got a refill, went back.
Why?
To take with me for the night.
No, we're not questioning.
Do you have popcorn in your car?
We're not...
I'm not calling it quits because the movie's over.
We're not questioning that because I've done that. but it's... I would have stayed... You could still get the thing filled after the credits.
Yeah, well, we thought, go get the popcorn during the credits, go back in,
so you missed it.
Will be over. No, the credits were still going, and...
And then there was
there... I waited a while, there's still credits, I just left.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
come on, you'd already invested almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah, this is, and it doesn't feel like 2.5 hours. I mean, I think...
It feels like three.
You could... Okay. Ooh. No, you could probably tighten up a little bit because... As a critic, you're like, okay, here's this person's introduction, here's that person's introduction, let's get on with it. You could probably tighten maybe the first half hour.
Definitely.
But, I mean, that's a minor complaint. That and the 3D are kind of minor complaints on
the only
my
thing
end.
That bothered me about the film is that it never, for me, had that wow moment that completely blew me away.
Really?
And I really expect, I thought it was good in virtually every way. A good film.
That didn't do it for you?
That didn't do it for me.
Wow, or that didn't do it for you? I'm making hand gestures toward Richard, shut up, and he knows what I'm talking about.
Which is a little sad, but yeah.
So those didn't do it. Okay.
It was consistently good, but nothing ever blew me away.
Okay, all right. So
you're saying just a really solid performance all around from everybody?
I think it's a very solid film. I do. It's a solid summer blockbuster.
They gave 110%.
Wait, what?
They gave 110%. You always want to do good.
Thank
they hope
you
do good.
Wow. I love when he quotes bedazzled.
That was frightening.
So, Kobe, go ahead and use my thing. Let's get to the ratings in a second. This is how I feel.
Now that was a good movie.
Which is, and it's almost close to Sir Ben Kingsley screaming.
Yes, 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 yes.
Probably in between there. But yeah, I... You did not record the laugh medley.
I got like 5 seconds of it.
Okay, so here's the next with the ratings, which of course Richard's already getting in trouble for. I tend to not rate my movie. The sound clips are kind of a summary, I guess.
True.
I tend to not rate because unless they're paying, because people will look at the rating and a lot of times not read the review. That sort of, and then people start breaking down the grades. You gave this that, and now you gave this film this. You know, The Onion does this, goes through this a little bit. They do the school letter grades.
True.
And despite enjoying it, because we should always celebrate when Richard Probst likes a film, but apparently you didn't like it enough, and now the fanboys are angry.
Or Joe Shearer, as we like to.
or Joe. Hi, Joe.
Who has been threatening violence all day.
Really?
Through Facebook, yes.
Is it going to take you off at the knees?
Well, exactly. I mean,
wow.
I've already done it twice.
He did not do that.
He did. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. So what?
That was after both Iron Man films.
Oh, jeez. He didn't pick up Gwyneth Paltrow by the ankles and bludgeon you with her?
Oh! I might welcome that.
I would, too. She looked fine in those two scenes she had in the film. But no, you gave it a 3-star rating, and now you're getting angry responses. No, just Joe or from others?
There have been some other comments as well.
Let me guess, regular contributors?
Well,
regular readers.
My site probably focuses more on independent films, so I don't get as much of the fanboy contingent.
And that website is?
TheIndependentCritic.com.
Oh, gee. It's not called TheFanboyCritic.com?
It is not called TheFanboyCritic.com, though. Maybe I should start that as a side gig.
I don't know if you want to do that.
I don't think
don't
I
search. Don't do a fanboy search.
It would be all
work.
1-star ratings. That would get old after a while.
Wow. So JD, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed it. I think that, like we're saying, Robert Downey Jr. being snarky was really balanced out by the other characters, like Mark Ruffalo.
Twitchy Mark Ruffalo.
He's like my favorite. He's awesome.
You know, it's funny because and I actually liked Ang Lee's Hulk. I know that people are going to get angry
about
that
one
too. I'm the one. Okay. I'm sorry. When you have the director of Sense and Sensibility making a superhero or a comic book, what did you expect?
It wasn't horrible.
No. And then, you know, Edward Norton was fine in The Incredible Hulk. Not necessarily necessary because I just saw the other Hulk film. But no, it's enjoyable overall. So, but yeah, now Kobe.
What?
Kobe. We're not going to go down a Avengers Hunger Games. We're not going to treat the Avengers and Hunger Games like they're the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. We're not doing that.
What?
You don't, because I was saying this is the most important movie ever since the Hunger Games, and I know you're a big Hunger Games fan.
Yeah, I liked it.
And you're not, but Ferris Wheat Bianca has no interest in seeing the Avengers.
I don't know. I don't really have any interest in seeing the Avengers. Okay. I didn't see Thor, didn't see Captain America, didn't see Hulk. I saw the first Iron Man. Don't really care.
I think you could see this without having to watch all those.
You could.
We absolutely would ridicule you for it, but you know you could.
Oh, you didn't see.
We mean
you turn into fanboy. Oh, you didn't see the others. Oh, dude, you gotta watch all the others.
I already do that with you with independent and art and avant-garde films and other films, which I'm going to be handing to you a little later on. We have an update on what is Kobe watching a little later on in the show. So yeah, enjoyed it. Apparently the summer blockbuster season has started in early
May. Do you
think
it'll be the best one though?
The best,
I mean,
best blockbuster movie?
I mean, we've got The Dark Knight Rises.
I'm really looking forward to Dark Knight.
Yep.
I'm really
pumped about The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, that looks
good.
Yeah.
I've not seen the trailer for that. I'm
Andrew Garfield. I mean, come on.
Where are we going?
Oh man. Anywhere.
Okay.
Okay.
Andrew Garfield. That's a road picture. So
well, you know.
Nice. All right, let's move on. We'll move on to the independent critic portion of the new releases. Also in theaters today, The Hunter. And this is not a remake of the Steve McQueen film from 1980, but this stars Willem Dafoe, Sam Neill, and Francis O'Connor. And I have a trailer.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Oh, crap.
It's in the folder that says trailers.
Stall!
It's labeled
Stall for a minute!
It's labeled as The Hunter.
Yeah, I didn't look at the rundown thing, and then
my crew,
happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, right here.
Yeah, not seeing that.
You know what, Kobe? You're the before picture. This is what you have to look forward to.
Did you put it in the root folder here? No, it's not even in there.
It's in the it should be in trailers. Look under The Hunter.
Oh, The Hunter.
Wow.
Yep.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point and WFYI.org. You got it?
I got it.
My God.
This is an important job. There's no room for mistakes. The client is after something extremely rare. You're to bring back biological samples. Blood, skin, hair, organs.
I'm Martin David from the university.
Where's your father?
Going away. Up there.
You're looking for something most believe is extinct. The rarest, most elusive creature on the planet.
What kind of work was your husband doing up there?
He was hunting a tiger.
You know, it don't exist.
My dad saw one last summer. It's a secret.
He went missing last summer.
Search and rescue was out for 2 weeks. Not a trace.
Oh, we get a lot of tourists this way looking for the Tassie tiger.
National Parks found a footprint.
Thank you, Mr. Mindy. I'd like to go on alone.
This has all the signs of a tiger kill. She eats the heart first.
What do you think happened to Jerry Armstrong? Slipped, broke a leg, froze, starved.
Jerry thought that somebody was following him.
Hands by your side, palms up.
Was someone paying you to follow me?
You said to call if there was any problems. Well, it's becoming a problem.
They send someone to replace me.
They'll send someone to replace him, and they'll keep on sending people until they get what they want!
Sledgehammer on metal. You know, I did not see the trailer for The Hunter until this afternoon when I recorded it.
Really? Wow.
And boy, that sounded just as loud as The Avengers. Guess what, folks? It's not The Avengers. Far, far from it. Now,
it wasn't Thor at the end?
Oh man, I'm torn because I slam films in which the advertising is just totally wrong. And mm-hmm. and unfortunately, the trailer for The Hunter is totally wrong.
Yeah.
Chris Lloyd, I guess our colleague at the Film Yap, he did the declaration first. I know thousands of other critics have done this one, so I'm just going to pile on. But this should be in a double feature with the George Clooney film The American.
It's absolutely true.
What you just heard sounds like a slam bang kind of born action film. It isn't. Defoe plays a mercenary who is hired to go to the Australian outback to go after the last surviving Tasmanian tiger.
Tiger Woods?
No.
Okay.
He's not Tasmanian.
Oh.
He's just not fateful. Wow. Way to whisper while we're working here.
Okay.
Jeez. If I walk away from the mic, they won't hear it. Jeez, can't you guys wait? Anyway, you threw me off there. So yeah, this is, and so it's the mercenary on a mission, and it's about the nuts and bolts of what this guy goes through, not about the actual job itself. Mm-hmm. He winds up staying with a family that's the matriarch is Frances O'Connor, and the father is a Greenpeace warrior who is not around, and Sam Neill with his thick Australian accent shows up and helps out. And it's not about is Defoe going to accomplish a mission or not. It's more mm-hmm. about this is just another job for him. This is also going to irritate people because there's lots of footage of Willem Dafoe walking. So even more walking footage than Delicacy.
Do they play James Taylor's Walking Man?
God, no.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Because people would fall asleep, because I think James Taylor's musical tricked a fan.
Wow.
Don't listen to James Taylor at Thanksgiving. You'll die. So wow. It's more of a navel-gazing piece, and I like watching Willem Dafoe, and I think he's very good in this.
I'm not fond of his navel.
You've seen it? You've gazed at it.
Well, you know.
We see less of him in this one compared to Antichrist,
well,
which we're not
going
to talk
true.
About. So no, avoid the see the film, but avoid the trailer, because I think that's going to irritate a lot of people. That
if you go in expecting the trailer, you're going to be really disappointed.
Far from it. Richard, your thoughts?
I would agree. I mean, it's a contemplative piece. Who knew that Sam Neill was still alive, by the way?
He's still working. He's still bouncing from TV, the
I
movies. He was on Alcatraz. The series.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Wow.
Yeah, he's still around.
Like
no, the dinosaurs didn't get him.
He's like 150 now. Wow.
He's not 150.
I loved Frances O'Connor.
Who doesn't?
Oh, well, yeah, that's very true.
I think Kobe's going to have to Google that one.
That's exactly
she's
what
not
I'm
old
right
either.
She,
oh, you know her. She was in Bedazzled. She was the girl.
What?
Not, the one who's not Elizabeth Hurley. You know, Bedazzled, of course, which should have won the Oscar for Best Costumes.
Yeah.
That's another. But no, the girl that Brendan Fraser likes when she
Hang
plays
on.
Older.
I can't. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
I have to consult the internet.
Wow. So, no, yeah.
This is not a film I felt strongly about in any way. I mean, as you started talking about it, it was just kind of like,
oh,
it was a good film. I don't regret having seen it.
Not at all.
Didn't really. It's not going to stay with me.
Okay. Except for when we talk about the trailer.
Well, you know, yeah. The trailer's staying with me. I have a headache now.
That's a little unfortunate. So, Kobe, are you happier now?
What? Oh, yeah.
Okay. We're going to move on to the next film. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I don't have a...
I still do not have mediocre responses.
I know, we're going to work
on
that.
We're hot or we're cold. That's it.
We got to find lukewarm.
Yeah.
Or Luke Longley.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
Not as good
Holy
as LeBron,
cow.
Though.
No, he's not. Luke Longley.
Not even as good as Luol Deng. All right. Also in theaters, the first film in 14 years for Whit Stillman, who's given us Barcelona and Metropolitan, and the last one, I believe, was The Last Days of Disco.
Yes.
His newest one is the college campus comedy Damsels in Distress. It's Clueless, only less as ifs. No, here's the trailer.
Wait a minute.
Oh, God.
See, this is again.
When you hear me describing the film and setting it up.
Sometimes you don't be wanting to play trailers and stuff. And
don't be?
Yeah, you don't be wanting to play trailers.
When I put on the log trailer
you gave
in parentheses.
Me that like a minute before we went on.
And you didn't study it?
No.
You were too busy chatting with our guests.
Yes.
Well, at least you're a social tech guy.
Here we go.
All right.
Hello. Are you a new student?
Yes.
We'd like to help you. Seven Oaks was the last of the select seven to go co-ed. An atmosphere of male barbarism predominates. We're going to change all that. Do you know what's the major problem in contemporary social life? The tendency to always seek someone cooler than yourself.
Hey.
Our aspirations are pretty basic. Take a guy who hasn't realized his full potential or doesn't even have much.
Someone like Frank.
Yes, and then help him realize it or find more. There's enough material here for a lifetime of social work.
We're also trying to make a difference in people's lives, and one way to do that is to stop them from killing themselves.
No case is too hard or challenging. Would you like a donut?
You should know something about these girls. Their preferred therapy is tap dancing.
Tap is a highly effective therapy.
You think I'm gonna kill myself and make you look bad?
I'm worried that you'll kill yourself and make yourself look bad.
Speaking of suicide prevention, do you have a boyfriend, Lily?
Compliments of the guy at the bar.
What you've described is a playboy or operator move.
Operators like that are to be avoided.
What would you say are the most effective means to fight depression?
Beer?
No. Beer's a downer. Cocktails. Hard liquor and spirits is what really gives you a lift.
Frank's stupid, we knew. That he's a rat playboy operator, I hadn't realized.
I don't really like the word depressed. I prefer to say that I'm in a tailspin.
I suppose now she'll want the donuts, too.
Well, its ideas might seem a little offbeat.
A little offbeat. Oh, my God. He used to gaze at me with such love in his eyes. You know what I mean?
No. No, I've never actually seen that.
I need to watch.
What was that?
It's Damsels in Distress.
I know, but...
It's... Okay, my description of it is you have the cool girls, which... apparently are smarter and have more money than the group from Heathers and the group from Mean Girls.
Exactly.
And they're a little more low-key.
Definitely.
Their snark is a little more camouflaged. And they don't talk. They pontificate, and they spout philosophy while walking.
They just want you
campus.
To be happy, man. What's wrong with happiness?
I don't really believe that. And they take under the wing a transfer student and are going to mold and shape her into one of them, whatever that means. But there's no dialogue. There's just discussion of attitudes and character types on campus. And I don't know. His films always leave me cold.
Really?
I didn't care about the rich D-bags in Metropolitan. Didn't really care for the traveling D-bags in Barcelona. And I guess I need to watch Last Days of Disco because I don't remember much about the disco D-bags in that film. And, of course, Greta Gerwig, a.k.a. Richard's girl.
Hey,
I think Richard has a new title, the Greta Gerwig correspondent.
I think she's coming to my reading tomorrow.
Really?
I think so.
Keep thinking that.
I'm going to.
and Christina Hendricks coming to my kitchen. So. But she's kind of the leader of the group, and this is a group of kind of holier-than-thous, but as the film goes on, we see little dents in her armor, the fact that she breaks up with her boyfriend, and she actually does have a passion for not one hit wonders, but dance crazes.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are moments of dances, and there is a, I will say, it's not a spoiler, there is a really lovely dance sequence at the beginning, or at the end of the film, But the, for me, the absolute cold, distant feel of these characters in the first third of the film really made it hard for me to care for them to get to that ending.
That just made it feel like marriage to me.
Really?
Exactly. You know, cold and distant and harsh.
You enjoyed this, right?
Exactly.
You enjoy his films.
I love Whit Stillman.
Why? No, it's a legitimate question. I'm asking.
There's a stylishness to him that I really like. I really always love the camera work. I love the characters. They feel more honest to me, more so even in this film than others. The one, Metropolitan is probably my favorite of his, other than this film, which is probably my new favorite.
Wow, okay.
I love this film. Definitely my favorite of the week.
Now the fanboys are going to get
exactly
really,
now the fanboys are
really,
know,
upset.
You know, if I had my way, Damsels in Distress would be winning the box office this
week. Well, yes, and Albert Brooks would be making $20 million a picture.
Exactly, but no.
So let me ask, because there was in the trailer, they of course have the glowing responses. Yours is not up there yet, but there was comparison to Woody Allen. How do you now? Where would you put Woody's work? I mean, because there is similarities to that. Let's think about high end, kind of D-bag people,
right?
Are they in the same camp, or do they live in the same brownstone?
I think early Stillman probably lived in that. I think this one almost struck me as a little more like Wes Anderson.
Okay.
Who also, well, I guess to steal from you, that's what I struggle with a little bit with Wes Anderson, is he has characters I don't always care
so
about.
So my Stillman issues is probably mirroring your Wes Anderson issues.
Exactly.
Okay, because I dig Wes Anderson. Not with a shovel, but okay, I get it. So I see where you're coming from.
So this film is a lot less geared towards most of his characters have had a certain lack of edge, a certain endearing quality. In this film, he doesn't worry about that as much. Though I loved Violet. I thought that was one of the best characters I've seen in a long time.
Wow.
Absolutely loved the character. I mean, you've got all the goofy stuff of a college campus. You've got a suicide intervention clinic.
And, of course, all the male characters in the film.
Exactly.
You know, I guess it's nice to know that you know, you have a film in which you have what is supposed to be three-dimensional female characters and one-dimensional male characters,
if
as opposed
one.
To the other way
exactly,
around.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
Sorry, I'll give it points for that. So, well, this was my thoughts on the film.
Now that was a good movie.
That's Richard's thoughts on the film.
Wow, that'd be some good filming there, Mr. Soce.
Let's take a break. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2, The Point, WFYI.org.
Anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. Also on Facebook and Twitter.
Yep.
Hanging out with Richard Probst.
You give him your Twitter handle.
It's at Matthew Soci, I believe.
There you are.
I forget.
Yep,
or go to at Matt Soci.
Yes. So,
thank you.
Yep.
Working on it. Mm-hmm. So that's Kobe. JD's hanging out. Richard's hanging out. Cajun water. Shocking the water. Moving on to a film that, if you've been taking a lot of haterade already.
Yes.
Because, The Avengers.
It's in my veins.
The Avengers was not your favorite film this week.
Yes.
I'm going to go with the film I actually liked more than The Avengers.
And
it's out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. And Andrew Lee, if you're listening, you can't come and get me. You're in Minneapolis. But it is finally out on DVD and Blu-ray. The Martin Scorsese documentary, George Harrison, Living in a Material World. A two-part, 3.5-hour documentary about the Quiet Beatle.
Wow.
Here's the trailer.
Go ahead, George. Go on and fly away, babe. Just be free.
He was clearly an innovator. He was cocky. He had a great haircut.
We didn't really have that much money. We only just really had enough to feed ourselves.
I think with George, it wasn't his ambition to be in the Beatles for his whole life.
You see a few pictures and read articles about George Harrison. You don't realize that it's actually about yourself.
It's like a marriage. You love each other, but you're getting fed up. We knew that he was peaking.
George liked to surround himself with people that were good at something.
He'd mortgaged his house to put up the money for this movie because he wanted to see it, which is still the most anybody's ever paid for a cinema ticket.
Well, we got to do something, with our lives.
He comes in to me because he'd been to India again, I think. He said, I've got this song.
I think we shared a lot of tastes, cars or clothes, and women, obviously. Here comes the
sun. I was being treated like the Messiah or something.
Mr. Chapman shot John Lennon.
Someone said you can have everything in 5 lifetimes, or you can have a really intense one. He would have said, give me the one, I'm not coming back here.
People always say I'm the Beatle who changed the most, but really that's what I see life is about. You have to change.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
So, Kobe, when are you going to start changing? Like I said, two-part, well, it was on PBS. We played it a while back, but it's two parts and 3.5 hours. And this is a film that I am happy to put in the same category as Crazy Heart and The Thin Red Line. I'm sure there are others, but films that I wouldn't mind seeing an even longer version of.
Really?
I'm not shy about my love of the films of Martin Scorsese, and his music documentaries are pretty damn good. I mean, say what you will about, I know a lot of people have, especially those not named Robbie Robertson, have issues with the Last Waltz, the interview portions, maybe not so much the music portions. Shine a Light, which I think is the best of the Rolling Stones live albums, probably, and their live film. Far better than Let's Spend the Night Together, sorry,
absolutely,
Hal Ashby. But also, No Direction Home, the Bob Dylan documentary, and now this. So, and it's very, very thorough, obviously, if it's when you have 3.5 hours.
We hope so, anyway.
Yeah, we would hope so. And what's interesting is, Kobe, I'm going to steal a quote from you when we were discussing this film in your office, and you went, I'm George Harrison, I go to India.
Yeah.
Because all we, you know, for your imitations,
leftover
we go
over hippie kids like me.
Yeah, we just say I'm so and so, and I try not to even sound like the person. But Terry Gilliam is one of the first people interviewed in this film, and makes a point of saying that, and this was reiterated by others, that there were two sides of George Harrison. There was the love, peace, India hippie guy. But there was also a guy who was a shrewd businessman, and he told the story that while he was in the stages of cancer, the final few months of his life, he bought a house in Switzerland just to avoid the taxes. This, of course, is, as he said, from the songwriter of Taxman. So, and as we heard from Eric Idle in the trailer, he mortgaged his house so Life of Brian could get made.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, a good payoff. So well, you get to see both of those. The fact that he, you know, wanted this, and you see this amazing footage at his house, which he worked on for years and years and years, to have this thing of tranquility, a thing of home. And then, you know, running around with the Beatles and trying to do the tour. They talk about the 1974 tour, which was a disaster, touring with Ravi Shankar. I mean, they go through everything. And the number of people they get, I mean, obviously they get George, Ringo, they get Patty Boyd, for you Eric Clapton fans out there, and Eric Clapton. They got Phil Spector, which probably will be his last interview ever. I mean, they go through quite a bit about the man and both sides of him. And there's a lot of great footage that we'd not seen before, at least I had not seen before. Concert footage of the Beatles that I had not seen, live stuff from the 74 tour. You know, they talk about the spirituality. They talk about the split up. They talk about the Bangladesh concert, his drug problems, his connections with Monty Python. You know, the Traveling Wilburys, which I enjoy. They even talked about, you know, him, the intruder, getting into his house and stabbing him. The one thing they don't talk about, and it's not even on a deleted scene, was the lawsuit that he lost with the song My Sweet Lord and the Shirelles' He's So Fine. So, you know, not perfect, but I guess...
Better than the Avengers.
Yes, it is better than the Avengers. Okay. Come and get me. So, yeah, and the fact that they do... bring up George. They have Patty Boyd and Eric Clapton interviewed, and you know about that triangle. Mm-hmm. One of the best and most dignified love triangles, not just in music history, but I think history period. This is how people want love triangles to be: dignified and no punches drawn. And then Clapton and Harrison tour together in Japan in 1990. Always a cool thing. Always very fun. So, but yeah, if you're a Beatles fan or just a fan of fine documentary filmmaking, or if you've been interested in seeing more about the man, Kobe, go rent this. Go check this out. Definitely worth watching.
Yes.
Wow, that'd be some good film in there, Mr. Soci.
Okay, that's justified. That's fine. Also out on DVD this week and Blu-ray, the latest film from Steven Soderbergh, or the latest experiment from Steven Soderbergh, Haywire, which features an MMA woman who's not really an actress, but she can beat people up, and that's what you get in this film.
She does the beating up really well.
She does do the beating up really well in this kind of, I think it's Soderbergh's spoof, maybe tongue-in-cheek, of the Bourne film, where people are chasing after people and there's double and triple crosses and we're not sure what the hero is after, but we know they're after something. And there's Channing Tatum, who's actually enjoyable in this one when he's getting beat up, and Michael
Fassbender. I like it when he gets beat up.
Me too. That's a long line of that.
That
and
makes me
and
happy.
Michael Fassbender keeps his clothes on in this, and there's
Amen.
Ewan McGregor and Antonio Banderas and, you know, all these folks.
I love Soderbergh. I love the fact that he'll try almost anything.
Yes, and apparently his one-man Spalding Gray show is coming out on Blu-ray by Criterion this summer, so...
I didn't care for the film that much.
You didn't.
But again, I respect his effort. I respect the fact that he tries different things. I think if he'd had a different leading lady in this role, I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
I think they kept her speaking to a minimum.
Well...
I am a pig male. I know. I am man. Hear me, oink. But no, but listen, because if this was a film, if it had any of the action film stars of the 80s, this is almost like a twist on Taken. You know, the fact that if you think if Liam Neeson's not in Taken, if you have Jean-Claude or Seagal or, you know, Wesley or some other non-taxpayers and they're the lead, would you care? And the fact that he got a woman that could beat people. I you know what? I would love to have seen Zoe Bell. Be the star of Haywire.
I was okay with a woman.
Right.
I'd prefer a woman who can act a little bit.
Michelle Yeoh. Pam Grier. Okay, Kobe's awake now. There was that great article, What If the Expendables Were Women? And it was Angelina Jolie, Michelle Yeoh. Not Betty White.
Come on.
Besides, Cloris Leachman takes umbrage with that. But yes, go check it out. If you want to see some fighting and actors that apparently did some training so they could get beat up on screen, because it shows. And that's the other thing, is that you can actually watch the fight scenes. You can actually see the fight scenes. He pulls the camera back a little bit, so you can see that these are actually two grown people that took a lot of training to beat each other up on camera, and it works. It works for me.
That's true. Okay.
So this is what I thought of the film.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
That's Richard's reaction to it. So. Also on DVD this week, Joyful Noise, which the kids' film correspondent selected for me to watch. And, yeah, it's Dolly Parton.
You got to love those father-daughter moments.
Yeah, not this one. Dolly Parton and Queen Latifah, who is an executive producer on this. Kiki Palmer, for you fans of Aquila and the Bee. Courtney B. Vance and Jesse L. Martin. I've joked about the, fat guy with the hot wife sitcoms, and she, not saying she is this, but I'd rather see the sitcom of Queen Latifah with Jesse L or Courtney than this picture.
Really?
Yeah. They
What'd
are
you think of the music.
Oh, the music's fine. It's okay. Gospel glee without the sharp writing. That's basically what it is.
Cringe. Well, it's you Dolly Parton, who can no longer move her face.
She's really hard to watch in this. It's really uncomfortable to watch her in
this.
It's
kind of like, I'm Southern, y'all, and
no,
I'm
it's
black,
not,
y'all.
Not, no, it's the, I, well,
Hi,
yeah,
Jinx and Sue.
They are sassy, and they don't like each other, and they're from different sides of the tracks, even though they're in the same church choir. And Dolly's rich, and Queen is hardworking, and the fact that Queen was not made, no, Queen was made the choir director after her husband, a sadly underused Kris Kristofferson, dies in the first scene and shows up in a musical number later. So Dolly's upset that she's not the choir director, and Queen was. And guess what? Queen has a daughter, and Dolly has a grandson.
No.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Isn't this kind of like Footloose or something like that?
Oh, there's not that much spark to it.
And of course, then on top of all that, they want to get the church choir competition, and they have to go. They're a small town in Georgia.
Oh, they got to work together?
They got to work together. But for some reason, they're in the small town Georgia is in the same region as Detroit.
Nuh-uh.
It must be the AL West, or no, or the AL Central, or who else? The NFC. Where are the other stupid? You know, there's always like one team that's not in that region. The NFC West used to be like that, I think.
Indianapolis is in the AFC South.
Yeah, we're not in the South.
No.
I know we sound, a lot of people here sound like they're Paula Deen, but we're geographically on the side that won. Sorry. It's just, deal with it.
That is just sad.
So, yeah, they don't like each other, but they got to work together. And the musical numbers, no question.
Do they learn to like each other?
I'm not telling you.
Oh.
You have to watch the film.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, Kobe, you have to watch the film.
Or I don't wanna.
Or
grab a little kid.
Fair sweet.
Borrow Emma.
Wow, that could be really taken.
I suppose it could.
I suppose it could. But yeah, it was
a joyful noise.
Not that noise. Not that joyful. So yeah, this was kind of painful to watch, and not just Dolly Parton's face. She looks like the Joker's mom.
That's sad. She's had so much stuff done.
I know, and she admits it. And you know, her joking about it doesn't really justify that. I still.
That doesn't make it okay or funny.
Doesn't make it okay or funny.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Too many good flashbacks of Beth Little Whorehouse, Nine the Five, and her in the '70s. Because as you know, Kobe,
different time.
'70s were a different time.
They were.
'70s country, not bad. Also new on DVD this week, New Year's Eve. Let's move on.
Ooh.
Old titles. We'll get to the old titles. If you had a Blu-ray, would you want to buy this and own this on Blu-ray? JD, you may nod your head on this one. I know you're overshadowing Kobe. Because the third one is coming out. Men in Black 1 and 2 are on Blu-ray now. Aren't you excited?
No.
Okay. Damsels in Distress, of course, is out in theaters, but also on Blu-ray this week, Clueless. That's a double feature. No, it's not.
Nope.
It's exciting. It's based on Jane Austen's Emma, only without the Austenian words. And there's Paul Rudd and Alicia Silverstone. Wow. Apparently, but she's not she's not chewing up her food and spitting it out for the baby to eat.
Paul Rudd's in that.
Yeah, early Paul Rudd. So
Paul Rudd rules.
But you won't watch this.
I've seen this.
Oh, you've seen this?
Yeah.
Way back when. Also, another film from the 70s, which I may make you watch sometime, Jeremiah Johnson with Robert Redford, directed by Sidney Pollack, a real woodsman, and we wish all country woodsmen looked like 72 Robert Redford. Meet Joe Black, which is a fine two-hour drama. The problem is it's 3 hours with Anthony Hopkins, Brad Pitt, and Claire Filarney. Pillow Talk, if you're...
The old one?
The Doris Day Rock Hudson film, which I will still watch over any Katherine Heigl... Gerard Butler romantic comedy.
Oh, thank
any
you.
Any day of the week. About a Boy, which I still don't understand its fanfare, but it's Hugh Grant being a cad and eventually learning something by the end. Okay.
Good.
here's some double feature and triple feature. Oh, no, here's the double. Because you know what, Kobe? You don't have enough ammunition to be irritated over Ryan Reynolds. Do you remember the film Definitely Maybe?
Wow.
From 2008, where he's the father of Abigail Breslin, and he talks about the women in his life, which include Elizabeth Banks, Isla Fisher, and Rachel Weisz. Now do you hate him even more? You're speechless.
He's just awful. Everything about him is terrible. Where did he come from?
Canada.
Okay.
All right.
That explains everything, doesn't it?
Okay. We got some double and triple features. For you Herschel Gordon Lewis fans, The Wizard of Gore and the Gore Girls. There's a double bill right there. And, of course, somebody has decided to put, like, three films on the two disc or one disc. Would you own Deep Blue Sea, Long Kiss Goodnight, and Snakes on a Plane?
Oh, man.
No, Kobe Wood. No.
Those feature yelly, screamy Samuel L. Jackson.
Do.
We also have Bullet, the original Getaway,
wow,
and The Cincinnati Kid, a Steve McQueen triple feature.
That would be pretty good.
You need to get on Bullet, sir.
Yeah, I know.
Executive Decision, Point Break, and Swordfish, a.k.a. the $500,000 Halle Berry shot. Blazing Saddles, Caddyshack, and National Lampoon's European Vacation. One of these is not like the other. The Losers... Rock and Rolla, and Shoot 'Em Up.
Nope. Wow.
Darkness, Phantom, and Venom.
Nope.
Wow.
For you Sly fans, Assassins, Cobra, and The Specialist. 6 hours of suck. John Q, The Pelican Brief, and Training Day. For you Denzel fans out there. Body of Lies, Edge of Darkness, Pride and Glory. Cop, Secret Agent. Whatever.
Wow.
Body Heat, L.A. Confidential, and The Player.
That could be an interesting.
For you John Wayne fans, The Cowboys, The Green Berets, and The Searchers.
Wrong.
Definitely The Searchers. Beetlejuice, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and Corpse Bride, because Dark Shadows is coming very, very soon. All right, Kobe, we don't have time, but got three movies for you. Three films that were from Handmade Films, George Harrison's film company. The Long Good Friday with Bob Hoskins and Helen Mirren. Mona Lisa with Bob Hoskins, Michael Caine. And Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Nice.
And On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yes.
The George Lazenby James Bond film, which I cannot talk about why I'm picking this, because it's between Bianca, Kobe, and me. So, ladies and gentlemen, words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Richard, plug your event once more tomorrow.
I'm doing a book reading of The Hallelujah Life from 3 to 5 p.m. at Underground 9 Studio in Irvington, the basement of Book Mamas.
And you can go to the Independent Critic to read your rants.
You can read my rants at the Independent Critic, and you can pick up the book at Amazon.com or Book Mamas.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
JD, Kobe, thanks for hanging out.
Yep.
See you next week. Not see you next week. And until then, go see a good movie. You deserve it, like this pile right here. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We go! Let's go to Pacers! Let's go to Sun King.
Good night, Portland.